Today's lesson is a difficult one. You know, some sermons are more difficult than others. This one really hits hard because it's something we all experience if you live long enough. And the title of it's, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God exists, and if He's all powerful, why does He allow bad things to happen to good people? Can't He prevent it? You know, pain and suffering, their existence in this world, cause many people to question whether God exists. Atheists often claim this proves that God doesn't exist. So many people will lose their faith over this when pain and suffering, especially a certain level or degree, will cause them to lose their faith. So, the question is, does the reality of pain and suffering prove there is no God? Because that's a very, very important question. If you haven't dealt with it, then you probably will. Or you know someone that has. And you may have known someone that did completely quit their faith because of pain and suffering that entered their lives or the lives of someone close to them. So if pain and suffering exist, and we know it does, what are the causes of it? And what purposes could it possibly serve? In other words, could pain and suffering serve a good purpose? The first thing I want to address is that pain and suffering can be, notice can be, the result of our own personal choices. Now think about that for a minute. God gave each of us free will. That's how He made us. That's how He created us. When He created Adam and Eve, He gave them the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. And it was the perfect world for that. For them to choose what they were going to do. We can make our own choices, but sometimes those choices have bad consequences. If you've never made a bad decision or a bad choice, you are certainly in the minority. Think about Adam and Eve, the very first couple. They both chose, because God gave them that freedom, to go against His commands. They were given the freedom to eat from all of these trees, except one. It's very explicit, it's very easy to understand. They knew what God wanted them to do. Very easy to understand. But they both chose to disobey. They both chose to go against God's will. What happened? They became subject to physical death. Their bodies started to die that very day. Started to die. Why? Because of the choice they both made. Adam's labor, his work, would become more difficult. The Bible says there in Genesis that now, because of his bad choice, his work was not going to be easy like it was before. He worked before. But now it's going to be by the sweat of his face. Not the sweat of his brow, but the sweat of his face. It'll be a lot harder. Eve was going to have a lot of pain during childbearing. Both of those were a direct result of their bad choices. It's all found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Bad choices. God didn't force them to make those choices, but with the choices came consequences. Came pain and came suffering. Both of them. Well, think about today. The man who does drugs and suffers a number of health issues has only himself to blame. He made the choice to do the drugs. He made the choice to take them. And now he has to live with the consequences. So that pain and suffering didn't come from God. It came from his own bad choices. The teenager who chooses to drink and drive or anything like that, has a car accident, it paralyzes him. Well, he caused his own pain and suffering. He made the choice to drink. Didn't have to. Nobody forced him to drink. He made a personal choice to drink and drive. And now he lives with the consequences. So some pain and suffering is caused by our own personal choices. And of course, the examples could go on and on and on. Choices we make ourselves can bring pain and suffering upon ourselves. They have consequences. But God has given us that freedom, and we can make those choices. Some pain and suffering can be the result of other people's choices. Sometimes we suffer because of others. But that's been true throughout time. Think about King David. God gave David the freedom to choose. You know, he looked out his window and he saw Bathsheba there on the rooftop. Now, at that point, he had a choice to make. He could turn away and not look or continue to look. Two choices. And he chose the wrong one. He made the wrong choice. But it didn't just affect him. It affected a lot of other people. That one choice that he made, the bad choice, affected other people. Number one, it affected Bathsheba. She was married, so she committed the sin of adultery. It affected Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Why? Because he wanted Bathsheba for himself, said, I've got to get rid of her husband. So he calls the commander, basically says, you send Uriah to the very front of the battle where it's almost guaranteed he'll be killed. And he was. So it cost Uriah his life. Why? Because of David's bad choice. Uriah didn't do anything wrong at all. And then think about the baby that was born from the union of David and Bathsheba. What happened to the baby? Died in a week. The baby didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. So there were at least three people affected negatively because of David's bad choice. Because of David's bad choice. So sometimes pain and suffering result because of other people's bad choices. Today, a person drives while drinking, or they weren't paying attention and were texting, hits an innocent family, kills one or more of them in the vehicle. Those other people were completely innocent, hadn't done anything wrong whatsoever. But they died as a result. Denise and I lost someone close to us because of that. Not all that long ago. And it was very, very sad. Extremely sad what happened. She was a mother. Had her two girls in the car with her. Just going down the road. She was paying attention. She was doing what she needed to do. But this other car wasn't. This other car hit them head on and killed her. So she lost her life. Her husband lost his wife. The two girls lost their mother. All because of one person's bad choice. So sometimes pain and suffering come because of that, from other people's bad choices. Because they have freedom. The woman decides to do drugs while she's pregnant. The child is born with birth defects. The child didn't do a thing wrong. Nothing whatsoever. So sometimes pain and suffering in this world are due to other people's bad choices. Bad choices. But sometimes, number three, pain and suffering can make us better people. Here's what I want to focus on now. Sometimes pain and suffering can actually make us better. There was a king in the Old Testament, he was a king of Judah, Manasseh. He was probably the worst king Judah ever had. Judah, recall, was the southern kingdom. Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes. Manasseh was a horrible, immoral, wicked king. But his life turned around. I want us to read something in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I want us to read verses 12 and 13. 2 Chronicles 33, verses 12 and 13. Let's go back to verse 10, actually. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 10. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction," and that's the most important word in the text. "Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God." Now think about what had happened to Manasseh. During the time he was in prison, he was taken prisoner. And those prisons were horrible. During the time he was in prison, he thought about God. During the time he was undergoing pain and suffering, he thought about God. And he thought about all the evil he had done. And after he was released, what did he do? Go down to verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 15. "He took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel." He destroyed all the pagan altars, all the idols, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord. What brought it on? Pain and suffering. He ended up being a much better person and king because of the affliction in his life. This is also very much a New Testament principle. In James chapter 1, James, the Lord's brother, says this in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," or long-suffering, or endurance. Enduring difficult times produces perseverance in us. And as a result, it says our faith grows stronger. So one good thing that can happen from pain and suffering is that our faith grows stronger. Think about this example. The fireman, he's sent to this house. The house is on fire. He knows there's a child in it. And he knows that if he doesn't go in, and it's risky, if he doesn't go in, he knows the child has no chance and the child will die. So he goes in the building. He suffers pain from burns that he receives. But he rescues the child. Now think about that for a minute. He chooses to suffer pain, to have pain, to have suffering. And what did it do? It produced something good. It saved someone's life. Pain and suffering can help us in lots of ways. I was amazed when I started putting this sermon together with all the places in the Bible that talk about good that can come from pain and suffering. It can bring out our best. At first, we might think that doesn't seem to make sense. Let's read Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4. Think about our best and how it can come. Romans chapter 5. Verses 3 and 4. He says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation, trials, pain, suffering, produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." He says trials and persecutions and pain and suffering can produce something good. It can bring out the best in us. Produces character. Pain and suffering. It can make us more sympathetic. Sometimes when things happen in our lives, the most helpful people are the ones who've gone through the same things we're going through. But that's a biblical principle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, this is how the Holy Spirit chose to write it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God comforts us so we can do what? Comfort other people. We go through trials, we go through pain, we go through suffering, we go through difficulties. And by going through them, God comforts us. And as a result, we're better able to comfort other people who are going through pain and suffering and trials and difficulties. So it helps make us more sympathetic. It also purifies us. It purifies us. It has the ability to cleanse us of things that are bad. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter uses this picture in verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter writes in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials." You've been distressed by various trials. "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The genuineness of your faith. We can be purified by going through fire. That's often how they purify certain metals. They put it through the fire. Drives off the impurities. Makes it cleaner, makes it purer, makes it better. That's what pain and suffering can do. Make us better. It can also make us more thankful. Pain and suffering can make us more thankful. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, this is how he put it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. He says in the 7th verse of Philippians chapter 1, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." my chains, my suffering. Paul said, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. So pain and suffering can make us better. And lastly, pain and suffering keeps this world from being too attractive. Imagine for a moment if everything were great here on earth. I mean great. Just imagine the greatest set of circumstances and conditions. What attraction would heaven hold? You know, pain and suffering help us see the contrast between this world and heaven. In Romans chapter 8, Paul makes this very contrast. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He puts it like this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He says, look at whatever amount of pain and suffering you're going through, he says it is nothing compared to what awaits you. Just nothing. That is so small. Jesus knew that his followers were going to go through some tough times. One of my favorite verses is John 16:33. Jesus is just about ready to go to the cross. So think about that when he says these words. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, pain, suffering, difficulties. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." He says, you will have pain and suffering in this world. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some people say, why didn't God make a place where there isn't any pain and suffering? He did. It's called heaven. Just read Revelation chapter 21. No pain, no suffering, no death, no sorrow. He did make a place where there's no pain and suffering. He made it for us. I love the words of Thomas Warren, one of my favorite gospel preachers. He went to his reward a long time ago. He wrote a lot about God and about pain and suffering and evil in the world. Probably the best that I've ever read, and I've read a lot about it. He said, this world is a veil of soul making. Now think about that for a minute. That's what this world is for, is to make our soul. So it's prepared for that eternal home. And so this world is perfect for that. It's the environment in which man could choose to love, honor, and obey God, or hate and reject God. That's the world that he made. That's the world we live in. The one that we can choose to love, honor, and obey God, or hate and reject God. So how do we deal with pain and suffering? Well, we have the choice. We can allow it to destroy our faith, or we can allow it to strengthen it. The sun hardens clay, but melts butter. It's the same sun, same heat, same temperature, two totally opposite effects. It can harden us or soften us. Cause us to lose our faith or strengthen it. But it's up to us what we do with it. What do we do with pain and suffering? See, that's our choice. Just like it's our choice to love and honor God or reject God. It's completely up to us. It's up to us whether we choose to become a Christian. It's up to us whether we reject the gospel message or accept it. and become a Christian. That's why we have an invitation. That's why we have an invitation song. It's for us to think about making choices. About making choices. And the choice is yours this morning. If you decide this is the day, this is the time for you to become a Christian, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.